If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. The day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of its existence. Nikola Tesla.
Welcome to the Frequency Shifter Show. I'm your host, Corinne Summers, founder of Artisan Pharmacy. In this show, we explore ways to raise the frequency of ourselves, one another, and our planet. We're digging deep into all things metaphysical, from what is frequency to the power of sound, the Schumann resonance, our DNA, Reiki, the energy of water, and beyond, all to shift our minds and bodies back into alignment with richer states of connection, elevated awareness, and maximum human potential. And we're bringing on the global experts and thought leaders to share their wisdom as they let us pick their brains around all these juicy, mysterious topics.
First of all, I don't know who Ricky is and metaphysical. Schumann's Renaissance? I don't even know. What are you talking about? Wait a minute. I need us to take a step back and calm down. What are we even talking about here?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention, I have a co-host. The universe insisted. What can I say? This is Alex Terranova, founder of Dream Mason. He's sort of a newbie to some of this frequency stuff, and he's going to help keep everything balanced, grounded, and relatable.
So this show isn't just for the experts to nerd out on all things metaphysical, but it's an open welcome space for everyone to explore the mysteries of the universe and raise our frequencies together.
Welcome back to another episode of the Frequency Shifter Show. Today we have Jerry Sargent, or as I know him, Star Magic Jerry, who is pretty much just the entire frequency of love. Like he just like is always just, he's just like the love vibration at all times. I love being on his email list, following him in every single way I possibly can, and really hope to do one of his facilitator trainings one day. He is an incredible healer and has a really unique story. He used to have a really rough life. We talk about everything from, he was in prison, a major car accident, talked to God, changed his life, blue aliens. There's really nowhere we don't go, right?
Oh, he's a really great example of somebody who completely turned their life around and has completely transitioned in his community, what he does for a living with his family. It was inspiring. It was fun. It's out there. There's something to learn. I think there's a lot for lots of different kinds of people in this episode, but Jerry's inspiring. And it's when you get to be with him in this podcast, there's no qualms about why he's so successful and why he's making a difference. Let's jump into this episode. Jerry, this is so great to have you here. I didn't know a lot about you before Corinne introduced me to you, and just being in your presence, like you can feel the energy, you can feel the just a great vibration coming off you, even remotely via Zoom. And so the first thing I just have to ask you is, you're everything's Star Magic, right? Like that's your brand. That's what you do. What is Star Magic? Because I can sort of feel it, but what is it?
I mean, it's a healing frequency. It's a transformational healing frequency. And we use it to change and adapt, modify the building blocks in the quantum field of someone's energy signature, soul signature, which manifests in the physical. So, you know, you might have someone that comes to us and they say, "Oh, Jerry, you know, I've got this issue with abundance, or I'm having this problem with my business, or I've got liver cancer," or whatever it might be. They've got some kind of issue going on. And whether it's mental, emotional, physical, I mean, all of them are linked at the end of the day. And what we do is we kind of go into the quantum field. It's like going into the back end of someone's biological computer, their body and brain. And what we're able to do using the codes and the frequencies in Star Magic is change the coding in the back end of someone's biological computer, and it manifests physically on the front end. So for example, if someone's got liver cancer, then there's obviously some anger issues, because all body parts mean something, right? the body's just a communication device. So the liver stores anger, emotion, it stores guilt sometimes. So we'll go in and we'll find the space in the quantum field where their soul is having an experience playing out right now, still feeding data into their biological computer, and we'll use the code to change it. And there's a number of different ways that we do that, you know, within the kind of Star Magic toolbox. In a nutshell.
Can you go any deeper into the actual, the techniques that you use? I've been a big follower of your for a few years. So excited to have you here in real life because I'm a big fan of your meditations and your teachings and videos. And I don't know, is there anything else you could share with us, I guess, and how you do that? Is it working with people just on an individual basis? And I mean, is it similar to something like, I'm a Reiki master. Is it similar to like how we use the vibration, healing vibration of and power of love in Reiki or in other energetic practices? Or is this something that you uniquely created?
Well, it's a great question, you know, and it's one that is really difficult for me to answer because I used to have a very different life before Star Magic, and I came from that life into Star Magic, and I didn't do anything else. There was no other kind of Reiki, quantum healing, bioenergy healing. I didn't used to believe in God, spirit, the universe, none of this stuff. I thought it was for crazy people. And I had a few kind of life-changing experiences which took me on this path. So I kind of only know Star Magic, but I mean, we've trained thousands of people now in over 40 countries, and we've trained lots of Reiki masters, quantum touch healers, bioenergy healers, and they all say Star Magic's different. It's like a higher frequency, but that's only from, you know, what people have told me. It does work in a kind of similar way that we connect with our heart. Okay. I mean, the heart is kind of, you know, the most important kind of tool, you know, you get on that love frequency. The other ingredients to Star Magic are intention, light, you know, light is information. So we connect to certain star systems, like Pisces links into the feet, Ophiuchus links into the nervous system. There's 12 months in our calendar year, but really there should be 13. And the zodiac sign that's missing is Ophiuchus, which links into the human nervous system. And it's interesting, the one that's missing is probably the most important one. You know, the human nervous system, without that, we're pretty screwed. But you can link into the nervous system, download the frequencies and codes into certain body parts. That's one way. Everything we do is at distance, although you can use it in-house, but we train all of our facilitators to work at distance because it just opens them up to, you know, a massive marketplace. You know, if you can only work, you know, one-on-one in the same environment, in the same room, then you've got a limited audience to all of the people in your local town in Chicago or, you know, wherever it might be in the world. But if you're able to kind of connect, entangle a hologram, you know, and a hologram could be a physical object, or it could be something that you create in your mind in the shape of a body, and you entangle with that, with the human being that you're going to work on, and everything you do to that hologram happens in real time to the human being wherever they are on the planet. So that's why, you know, working at distance has so many advantages. One way is connecting to the star systems. Another way is kind of tapping into the quantum field, into past lives and future lives. Because, you know, the past and the future, once you get into the quantum, aren't really past and future. Everything's kind of parallel. So you can tap into the soul fragments. You can rewind timelines. So like, for example, someone might come. I'll give you an example, right? So I had a guy and he had been in bed for like 6 months and he had crazy adrenal fatigue. So the first thing I've done is I've brought up his hologram, entangled the hologram with his physical body, and asked this question. This is the question that we always start every single healing session with. Please show me something I don't know to help me facilitate the healing of this incredible human being. And when you ask that question, please show me something I don't know, it opens up. You're up to like a field of potential. Like, Star Magic isn't a system. And I know from speaking to other people, like with things like Reiki, you get certain codes or whatever, and you put them in, or you've got to put your hands on the chakras or whatever it is. With Star Magic, we just play with the code in the empty space. And it's like playing a computer game. You know, you walk into the arcade, you get a dollar coin, you put it in and the game starts, and you just start to play it. And as soon as you ask that question, please show me something I don't know, you're going to get some information. It could be something you see, something you feel, something you just know. And then that piece of information is your starting point. When I went into work on this guy who had adrenal fatigue, I saw this kind of black, like rock, and it was solid. And I knew there was something on the inside that I needed to get to. So I've got a pneumatic drill and I'm drilling through this black rock. And then the black rock opens up and then there's this old man inside. And then the old man floats up from the ocean and he's on like a big old wooden boat. And he's the captain and he sails the boat out into sea into a storm. Loads of his crew die because the ship capsizes. And this is this guy in a past life, the guy that I'm working on, one of his soul aspects. So what I did is connected to that piece of him that felt very, very guilty for sailing out into the ocean and killing his crew members and brought that piece of his soul into healing. As soon as I did that, I was thrusted straight into another reality. And I see this man walking down the road with what either his wife or his partner. And again, it was this guy in another reality, another past life experience. And he's walking down the road and a car comes down the road and his girlfriend, wife, partner steps out into the road and gets run over. The next thing I see is him holding her and she's dying in his arms. Again, loads of guilt, loads of anger, all of this stuff. So what I did is I rewound the timeline. I went back to before this experience happened. The car's coming down the road. I tap him on the shoulder. I say, hey, there's a car coming. So he takes his missus's hand and pulls her over to the side and the car goes past so she doesn't get run over. So then what we do is we take that whole piece of reality. We turn it into a piece of code. Once we've got the code created, we download the code into this guy's biological computer, his body and brain in real time in this reality. And it wipes out the old programming and downloads a new set of frequencies. So as soon as you've done that, the trauma that created this situation in the first place, it doesn't exist. The reality from the guy that sailed his boat out and the reality from the guy that let his girlfriend die in front of him, gone. The guy gets out of bed the next day. He'd been in bed for 6 months. You know, he'd been to loads of different doctors, healers, all sorts of stuff. But all we needed to do is to find what was making him feel guilty. Now, this guy, when he was a straight guy, and
was he aware of all of this? Were you having, was this all happening it through you in visualization, or did you speak to him about those past events as well before went out of bed? No, it all happened in the energy levels.
Yeah. So he contacted us and told us that he'd been in bed. The doctors had diagnosed him with adrenal fatigue, all of this sort of stuff. And I spoke to him on Skype for 10 minutes before the session, closed Skype there, and then I went to work. And then once the healing session was over, I just typed him out a report and sent it. And then, so he knew what was going on. And by the time he got the report, he was already out of bed, walking around. But this guy, he was a straight guy, and he ended up coming out of the closet and telling his family that he was gay. And then what happened is family disowned him. And what happened when that took place, it triggered all of that guilt from those two parallel realities. It came rushing up in his body, all of that trauma, boom, adrenal fatigue kicks in, the anger kicks in, the guilt kicks in, and he's out. So by going in and changing the quantum fields, the building blocks of his physical reality now, the physical manifestation takes place. So that's another way of making it happen. There's many, many different kind of ways that we kind of play with the energy. And you never know which way you're going to play with it until you get into the healing session and ask that question. Please show me something I don't know. The field opens up and then you just start to ask questions. You start to play. And sometimes it can happen in like seconds. Sometimes you're in there for 30, 40 minutes and you're like, man, this is tough. But if you stick to it and you commit to it, the universe will show you the way. And then you've got to kind of open your heart. You've got to trust the process. And sometimes it's like wacky and weird and wonderful. I mean, I had a lady in India and she had not been able to eat because her throat had blocked up, for a long time. And one of her family members got in contact. I think the lady was in her 70s. And the doctors were like, listen, we can't keep her in hospital forever. There's nothing we can do. We can't keep giving her an intravenous. And the family were like, can you help? And I was like, of course I can help. And I always say that, like, of course I can help. I didn't have a clue. I never have a clue. until you get in there and you start playing, you just don't know. So I went in and said, please show me something I don't know. And I've seen this frog appear. And I didn't know until after this healing session, speaking to a shaman in like shamanistic medicine, the frog links to the throat. So I see this frog and the frog spits like this kind of like stuff out of its mouth into a jar that appeared in front of me. And then a blue light came down from space and I started mixing it up with the frog venom. And then I got an imaginary syringe, sucked up this venom and blue light and stuck it in the back of the lady's neck in a hologram. I was in a different country. Next day, her throat clears up, you know, and she can eat again. So the universe shows you things in ways that you can kind of like interpret it. But really, it's just pure code. But you're seeing a frog, you're seeing a jar, you're seeing the blue light. But it's just mathematics. And the universe is giving it to you in a way that you can kind of like, you know, transduce that information in some way. You can logically, you know, link into it. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah?
It makes sense and it doesn't make sense. But I have to say, you started by telling us you came from a totally different reality and a totally different world, right? Like the what had gone on before you got to Star Magic. And then you're sharing this, and this sounds from the outside, of course, like so complex, right? We're talking about like downloading things and jumping into different realities. And so someone who's not in this with you, the first thing I'm thinking is, how did you just go from living this very different life to knowing and being able to facilitate and train and do what you do?
It's been a journey, bro. It's been a real journey. You know, to be honest with you, I fought it tooth and nail. I was like, you know, my mates are going to think I'm nuts. I'm seeing fairies and angels and having encounters with extraterrestrials and all of this just information is coming. And so I kind of held back for ages. But at the same time, the universe was like kicking me up the butt. I mean, I used to smuggle drugs for a living and lots of other different things like bank fraud and all sorts of stuff. And I was a criminal for a long time. But then I was involved in like a crazy car crash back in 2005-06 with my family in Romania. My ex-wife's Romanian. And we'd been to see her parents. And we're on the way back to Bucharest Airport early one morning. And I was asleep in the passenger seat. Laura and the kids are in the back. And the taxi ran three ladies over. And I didn't know because I was asleep. All I heard was a loud crash. I've woke up, there's glass, wind, the car's swaying from side to side. And I'm like, boy, you're in a bad accident. You know, we're either going to hit the oncoming traffic or the car's going to flip. And then all of a sudden we came to a stop and it was just getting daylight. I've looked at the taxi driver. He looked petrified. Alea, our daughter's underneath the driver's seat. Laura's got Josh in her arms and both their mouths are full of glass. And there's a big hole in the windscreen and there's blood dripping down my face, but I'm not bleeding. And I'm like, this is the weirdest situation ever. So I've got out of the taxi, looked back up the road a little bit, and there's two ladies lying on the side of the road. And about another 100-150 yards up the road, there was what looked like a dead body. And the two ladies on the side of the road, the one had her ankles cut clean off. The other one was physically okay. The one up the road, she'd actually come through the windscreen. She hit me in the face whilst I was asleep, got sucked back out of the car and died. When I walked up the road, I walked past the lady with her ankles off because there was a guy that had come out from a factory. He was on the phone. I thought, you must have called emergency services. And I was kind of fixated on this kind of like what looked like a dead body. I got closer and closer. Got within about 10 meters and I see this energy, which, you know, was her soul. And I'm shaking my head like, no, I'm not really seeing this. Like, I want to see it, but no, I don't want to see it. And I got closer and closer. And then this energy just kind of fizzled off into the ether. And by that time, I'm looking down over the lady's body and her legs are wrapped up over her head. She's completely mangled. And it was like someone had taken an old car to the scrap heap. Like whatever this thing was, this energy, this soul inside her body, it was like off, no love lost. It was just time to go. And I looked up to the heavens and I just said, thank you. And I don't drink whiskey and I don't smoke cigarettes, but that's exactly what I wanted at the moment. It felt like a time to celebrate, you know? And I was just saying, thank you. Like the universe had smacked me right in the face and, you know, shaken some sense into me. Like, Jerry, come on, man. We're so much more than these physical bodies. We're atoms and molecules. We're energy. So this happened. And then 6 months later, Laura had a headache, my ex-wife, and I thought to myself, I can take this out of your head. And I don't know why I thought that, but I did. And I went over, She's lying on the bed with a bad migraine, and I see this green energy in her head. So I grabbed it and pulled it out, and she got up off the bed like she didn't have a headache. And then from there, there was a whole chain of events. We ended up moving to New Zealand. I had an encounter with Jesus. I got taken up in a spacecraft to Alpha Centauri, this like space pod landed in the garden. I was meditating in my friend's copper pyramid one day. Like before New Zealand, I'd never meditated. And this old fella called Michael taught me how to meditate. And I used to go around his house every day, sit in the garden in this copper pyramid. I had so many amazing experiences. But the main one was this space pod landing. There was a blue being inside of it. So I brought my lights out of my body. And I knew how to do that because another part of the story is I around this kind of same time as the car crash, I met a spiritual teacher who worked for Scotland Yard in the psychic division. And like, she did past life regression. So I used to go and see her all the time. She taught me how to remote view, how to bring my light out of my body and travel. So I had a kind of like a rapid crash course in like esoteric stuff. And she kind of like kickstarted me really well. So I'm really grateful for that. And when this space pod landed in the garden, I brought my light out of my body, went and got inside, and we flew through a tunnel for like 4 or 5 seconds, came out the other side. We were over water, over a beach. I got out of the space pod, walked up the beach, and there were like 200 of these blue beans. And I knew they were Lyran, and they're about 6, 6.5, 7 feet tall, some of them. They had like no clothes. They had no sex. They're androgynous. All of them were like fit and healthy. Like they were there in the gym like 10 million hours a day. And they hugged me. And the love that I felt was like, it blew me to pieces. You know, I'd never really experienced love like this. And it was like coming home. And so they hugged me for a while. And I started downloading this info. Like I knew like terms of pregnancy and what kind of foods they ate and how they kind of created foods. And they all had these shades that would just appear on their eyes and then disappear into their heads again. And all of these kind of crazy things. And then they kind of cleared a pathway. And one of them led me up the beach and through this kind of jungly area. And there was a building that was made of light. And they took me inside. And it was like meeting like a chief from a Native American like civilization, really ancient Lyran being. And I knelt down on the floor and had a big download of orange light. And there was all this kind of like moving spiralized geometry that was flowing through the frequency. And then this went on for a little while. And then suddenly it stopped. And two of these Lyrans picked me up underneath my arms and frog marched me back to the space pod like rapid. They stuck me inside, went back through the tunnel into the garden, back into my body. So that happened. And then after that, I'm like, what's next? You know, what's the next piece of the puzzle? But nothing happened. And I was waking up every day. And we'd set up a health and fitness center in New Zealand, the mixed martial arts facility, and we're training fighters and people in strength and power sports. And the business is going really well. And then one day I wake up and I know we've got to go back to England. So I say to the missus and kids, we've got to go back. And they're like, no way, we're not going. So I hounded them for ages, like, you know, a few weeks. And in the end, they were like, okay, he's not going to shut up. Let's just go back. So we put a manager in charge of the gym, packed up our house, flew back to England. I'm out running one morning and I see some fairies around a tree. And I stop and I'm looking, okay, I'm seeing these fairies. And then an angel comes down and this angel says, my name's Archangel Gabriel. You need to write a book. So I said, what's it called? And he said, it's called Into the Light. It's about your life story. So I was like, right. I legged it home, opened up my laptop. I wrote this book in about 4 weeks and published it. And as soon as I'd published it, I started seeing all this geometry in the empty space. And it was the same geometry that came in this orange download. And I'm saying to my guides, what am I supposed to do with it? They said, you've got to meditate more. You're just not meditating. You're not getting still enough. So I started waking up every morning with my son, Josh, at like 5 o'clock, and we'd go into these meditations and we'd go to these mystery schools underneath the pyramids in Egypt. And I'd get in there and I'd look and there would be other people in there, other humans, like from all over the planet and different ages, different colors. And we were sat at these like old wooden desks, like those ones you get when you're like 5 years old at school. And this guy was getting these like scrolls out, and on the scrolls were these codes. The same ones I was seeing in the space and the same ones that came in the orange download. And we went every day for 2 hours for 9 months, and they were showing us how to use the codes to heal people. And then people started coming into my life that needed healing. And I was like, let me just see if it works. And I was trying it and it was working. So I booked into this Mind Body Spirit Festival. I made up these little kind of cards that just said energy healing. There was no star magic then. And I took my book into the light, gave a little kind of speech on that. And I put these forms out and said, listen, put your name down. I'm going to draw out the names of three people at the end of the weekend, and I'll give three healings away. About 70 or 80 people put their names down, and I phoned every single one of them and said they'd won just so I could practice. So I had all these people to practice on, practiced on them for a few weeks. Things went really well. I phoned them back up and said, please, can I come to your house and get a testimonial? So I'd go into all these people's houses with my video camera, having cups of tea, getting these video testimonials. And then the same blue being that took me up in the spacecraft came to see me again. I was meditating on this hill and said, you know, you need to build these healing centers. Like, the whole town disappeared, and I saw these 13 like orange dots spread around the Christ consciousness grid on all these ley lines. And I was like, what are these? And he said, you know, they're energy healing centers. You've got to build them. I was like, well, if I build them, who's going to work in them? He said, go and train people. So again, I legged it home, designed this training program. He also told me to write a book, which I wrote. And then I put the training program up online for the following February. And these people came from all over the world. And I was like, at the classroom on the very first day, I was like, what are you guys doing here? Like, this is so wild, you know, like a couple of years back, I was doing a lot of different things. And now I'm here in front of you guys. And we did the training. It went really, really well. And you know, we've got level one training there, level two, level three, level four. We've trained thousands of people from China to Peru and everywhere in between. And we're in the process of building our first healing center in Transylvania in Romania. And, you know, everything that these blue beings have told me is going to happen is actually happening. And when they first told me, I was like, yeah, whatever. But it seems like, you know, it seems like a good goal. Let's go for it, you know. And it's actually kind of all unfolding now in the weirdest of ways. You know, the universe is kind of like laying it on. So I'm just kind of following the path. And this is how I came to be doing it. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. My mind is blown in so many ways right now. Thank you for sharing your story.
That's cool. Thank you for asking.
Your incredible story. And
did your mates think you were crazy?
Yeah, I mean, to start with, they all thought I was nuts, you know. And to be honest with you, most of my friends are out of my life now. I've probably got like two or three friends from all the way back then, you know, 2005, 2006. All the rest have gone, even most of my family too, you know.
Yeah. I think that a lot of that is normal. I've experienced the same, and all the healers I know, that seems to be a kind of common theme. It makes sense, you know, when you're choosing to up level and you're choosing the path of love and spirit and trusting the universe, not everybody's going to want to go there with you. Not everybody's going to want to take that path with you. So I think it's important to be able to learn to let go and do it with love and with grace, but it's definitely something difficult, I think, that we all kind of struggle with on that path. How has your life changed now? Like, you have new friends, new people in your life, and you're working with all these incredible people all over the world, and healers, right? I've been interested in, especially in your training. How has it been like working with people and teaching them how to also take this path, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the most rewarding part of it, because, you know, you have people that are in a particular position. And then after you've worked with them, or you've given them some skills to go away and, you know, work things out themselves, and they come back and their lives have changed around. I mean, I remember like way back when we first started this, I used to do this kind of clinic. It was like an in-house clinic that I did for a few months in Birmingham. And I used to do it once a month. And like the clinic would line up a load of people. I'd turn up and I'd do the healing. And one day this lady came in and did some work on her. And she went away. And let me tell you about the healing, actually, because the healing's really important to do with this story. What happened is I went into work on her. And as soon as I kind of started working, I saw this lady in a jungle. And her legs and her knees were like stuck in the mud. And there was all this water like kind of rising up. And it was like she was going to drown. And so I'm looking around on the jungle floor trying to find the plug hole, right? So I find the plug hole, and then the water starts draining out the bottom of the jungle. And she rises out of the water up onto this kind of crystal white platform. And she starts to walk forward, and the platform kind of tilts back. and she slides back into the jungle. And then the water's coming up again. So I go through the same process. This time, lift her out of the jungle, and I make the platform massive. So it can't kind of tilt or anything. And then she starts walking, then she's jogging, and then she's running. Like, the wind's in her face. She's like free, like pure freedom and sovereignty. So this whole vision, I turn it into a piece of code, like I was explaining before, downloaded it into a biological computer. Anyway, she comes out of the healing, comes round, and I said, you know, what's been going on in your life? She said, well, I'm 40-something years old. I'm at college. I'm working 3 jobs, and I hate it. It feels like the world is on top of me. I'm just scraping by with money. I don't want to be at college. I want to be doing healing just like you, but I just can't find a way out. I said, well, you know, listen, good luck with everything that you do. Anyway, she left. A few months later, I went to a Mind Body Spirit Festival, and I'm packing out a table, unpacking a table, getting all my stuff out. And I looked to the right, and she's there like 3 tables down. So I went to see her and I said, you know, how you doing? She said, oh, Jerry, after that healing session, my whole life changed. She said, I quit college. I kept 2 of my jobs so that I could get a little bit of money to build my healing website. And then I started getting healing clients. I put myself out there, and now I'm at my first exhibition and you're here. This is amazing. So by going into the quantum field again, you know, we've changed this person's life forever, changed their course to destiny. And these are the things that like really invigorate me, like seeing someone come from some like crappy place that they don't want to be in to just being so happy and full of joy and bliss. And then you get other people with serious illnesses where the doctor said you'd be dead in 8 weeks, and they're still alive 3 years later because you've done a little bit of work with them and they followed a few principles and protocols. So this is the magic really that kind of like makes me wake up every day, right? What else can we do? How can we make it better? How can we make it faster? How can we reach more people, you know?
I got to ask about you said you were telling the story before about your ex-wife and your kids. I'm curious their take as to see their dad or your, you know, their partner like transform. How do they, you know, especially your kids, right? What do your kids think of dad?
Well, I mean, like, I suppose my daughter was about 3 and my son was like 1, 4, and 2 when we kind of had the car accident. So like the first couple of years of their lives, I was like one of those dads that was like, you know, shut up, you know, listen to what I'm telling you to do. You know, I know best. I'm the dad, you know? So I was kind of like a little bit kind of strict. And my partner at the time, my ex-wife, she was like kind of more free, and she was like, come on, just relax with the kids and that sort of stuff. As I went on this journey, our roles reversed. So the kids saw me become much more relaxed and not really care about too many things. And my ex-wife become very regimental and structured. And when we moved back from New Zealand, you know, it was like putting our kids into prison. The schools were terrible. So we pulled them out and started homeschooling them. And then Star Magic started. And it really triggered my ex-wife. And she kind of went really kind of introvert, and all of her self-worth issues came up, and she actually died twice. And I kind of brought her back to life, once in the house, and once when we were on a walk up a hill. Her soul was leaving her body. She was just so low. And we kind of pulled her back in and brought her back to life. But you know, in the end, she just, you know, we went our separate ways. You know, it was just too much for her. At the first, I thought we'd go on the journey together, but we didn't. And then the kids stayed with me. You know, she went off, found another man, moved to Switzerland, and the children stayed with me. My daughter, like, she's written 4, 5 children's books, you know, spiritual kids books from like between 12 and 16. She's 20 now. She's into horses and stuff now. She's kind of doing her own thing. Both of them are really good healers. My son's done both of the trainings. I mean, they used to travel with me at the start, you know, first sort of 2 or 3 years, they were in every single workshop, every single training. So they know the stuff inside out and they're good at it. But there's a part of them that kind of resists it too, because like, you know, a lot of their friends aren't into it. But as they've sort of got a little bit older, my son's 17 now, my daughter's 20. I mean, my daughter works for the company now. She does, we've got a meditation library, which is in what we call Infinity, which is like a monthly membership. There's all sorts of stuff, yoga and nutrition and masterclasses, meditation, light language, all that sort of stuff. And we have these things called Star Buddies, well, not things, but people called Star Buddies. And the Star Buddies, they communicate with the tribe and help them, like guide them and nurture them on their kind of like journey. So she's a Star Buddy and she kind of, you know, runs the Star Buddy program. So, you know, she's kind of, you know, into it, invested into it. And yeah. And, but at the same time, they're their own human beings and they're doing their own thing. So yeah, I mean, they kind of enjoy it. They love it. I mean, at the same time, they've got to travel so much. I mean, they've both drunk plant medicine, ayahuasca, psilocybin. They've had some crazy experiences on that with me, you know, which has been really awesome. That's kind of helped us bond more, you know, some deep, deep healing. Yeah, through the plant medicine. So
cool.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you too, when you just mentioned plant medicine again, it triggered it when you were telling your story earlier about the frog. Have you heard of Combo?
Yeah, I've done.
I had an incredible experience. It's one of the things I credit with being able to, I've had Lyme disease and I've struggled with a lot of issues. That was how I found healing. And I wasn't being served by Western medicine. And so I sought out, you know, all of these different spiritual paths and different types of support. And that was one that completely changed my life. And I've seen that frog so many times. It's like come back to me in meditations. During an ayahuasca journey that I did, and I wondered if you knew about that, or maybe you were even. It was interesting that you put the medicine into a syringe and into her body, because that's how, you know, you apply through like an opening the combo medicine. So interesting.
Yeah, the first time I took combo, it was kind of a bit of a rough ride for me. But, you know, very transformational. And I remember, like, you know, I was going through my kind of experience. I needed to go to the toilet. So I've gone to the toilet and I've looked into the mirror and I literally look like a frog. Like my face, it was like gray. All the lines that it, like, you know, like just emanated. And like, I don't know, I was puffed up like a frog and I was looking into the mirror thinking, man, if I don't go back to normal, I'm never going back out into the public again. I was like, shit. But
it does get yeah. Really puffy like that. It's kind of interesting. But that frog is also green. The combo, the frog in the Amazon. I think you mentioned in your story that frog also was like a bright green one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love all of the medicines. I mean, they all bring a different quality. They're all great teachers in their own right. And you know, I truly feel that everyone should be doing it. I mean, you know, children in the jungle are doing it 2, 3, 4 years old. So. Yeah, I mean, if I was in charge of this world, all the kids would be having it at school, you know, and expanding their consciousness. I mean, it's just the best, ayahuasca especially, not the Cambo, but the Aya, you know, ayahuasca, you know, everyone should be microdosing it at least, you know, psilocybin. I mean, they're all teachers in their own right, San Pedro. You know, I rate them all. Yeah, I rate them all.
Do you want to tell us a little about, I know I was looking at your website and you actually do these trainings and you facilitate these trainings. What is it like for someone to come to one of these experiences and get trained?
Yeah. So we do like level one, which is a 5-dayer, level two, which is a 5-dayer. And then level three is a 10-day training. And then level four is where people actually go out and do their own training. Which we help with on the first one, then the second one they're out on their own and we just observe. But the first training, the level one training, 5 days, would basically show in whoever comes to the training a whole heap of different ways. We call them star magic ways, not techniques. I mean, techniques are very rigid and they follow a systematical structure. And we don't call star magic a modality either. It's like a non-systematical way of knowing. You know, and, you know, we help people remember. We don't even teach people anything because I'm not a guru or a teacher. I this stuff that awoke within me was already there. It just got triggered. And when we're bringing people into these training experiences, we're just giving them an opportunity to remember what's inside of them. So we take them through a process, give them all of these kind of healing ways/techniques. We do ceremonies. We get up in the morning, you know, have cacao for breakfast and dance for a couple of hours, lasers and glow sticks. And, you know, we do a bit of qigong and breath work and, you know, mix it all in together, and they have a kind of a real kind of deep immersive experience for the 5 days as we kind of impart the knowledge and share it with them. So it's an amazing experience. If I could, I would live on those trainings, like always. I mean, I love it, you know, and we have a chef that comes in and prepares, like, you know, high vibrational foods. So they're just exposed to everything good, you know, and everything transformational. And yeah, I just, it's just amazing to see what happens to people in such a short period of time. You know, when they're immersed in that kind of frequency, that environment with another load of like-hearted souls, magic happens. And we obviously do loads of demonstrations. Like every time we share a healing way, then I pull someone out from the audience and do a demo. Sometimes get some of the other audience members, participants to come up, and I guide them through demos and things like that. You know, we'll get people with bent spines, straighten them in 15 minutes, different things like that, you know. So it's cool for people to experience it in real time. And yeah, I mean, they're just amazing. Then like the level two training is, we call it a frequency upgrade. And it's all about the kind of the Stargate systems that we have, planetary, universally, and galactically. And for us to truly ascend as a human species, we need to be able to realign our inner mathematics to be able to move through these Stargate systems to exit this time-based matrix and go somewhere else. So it's a kind of a process to recode someone's inner geometry, their inner mathematics, and realign them with, you know, everything pure and true, the original kind of codex, the original source code. And then level three training is, we call it through the Stargate. So we really share with people how to take people on deep meditation journeys, which is probably the thing that we're known for the most. Like these galactic journeys will take people out of their bodies through portals, through different dimensional spaces, to different healing temples and chambers all over the multiverse, download, upgrade, have amazing experiences and bring them back. So the Through the Stargate seminar training is to help people do that in a safe and effective manner. Yeah, and it's literally preparing people ready for the healing centers, you know? So, you know, I can't train all these people on my own. So we're getting everybody like leveled up and up to speed. Yeah.
I'm considering doing your training, actually. So I'm excited to look more into it and potentially do that. Are the five day, 10 day, that's all in person, right?
We do the in-person and online. I mean, COVID kicked in 2 years ago and we've never done an online training. So we adapted and went online. And actually, it's really cool doing the online training because, like, say, for example, you're in Chicago and you're in San Diego. You guys can partner up for one of the days and you can start to work on each other's holograms at distance. And so you start to feel real-time benefits at distance and you're like, it works. You know, sometimes when you go to an in-person class, some people go in and think, will it really work at distance? Like there's that kind of little bit of a doubt. But when you do it online, everybody knows straight out of the gate, you can do it at distance. And if you can do it at distance, you can definitely do it in person. But they've both got their merits, advantages. You know, I love seeing people being around a table, breaking bread, eating food, chatting, hugging, all that good stuff too, you know, and doing the ceremonies in person. You can't beat it. And then again, the online, it opens it up to a bigger audience again. So, you know, we'll probably always do both now, you know, and give everybody the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, that's wonderful. I agree with, there's something, you can't really replace the vibration that you feel when you're in person with people. The energy can just be so, so powerful. But it's brilliant that now you can do it online. You can reach so many more people. Let's talk about your healing center a little bit that you're building in Romania. Will that be one of the purposes of the healing center, hosting those kinds of trainings and certifications there? Or is it more like a retreat center for people to go and be healed, or all of the above?
Kind of a bit of all of it, you know? So the buildings are all being constructed out of this new kind of crystalline mathematics. So the rotational spiral that comes out from the source point is supposed to be a 45 degree rotation. Some of the frequencies that the people are bringing through different healing systems are 60 degree rotations, and they're not very healthy for people. They run like corrupt mathematics. So we're kind of building these healing centers off the original source code, you know, our original divine kind of template that activates our 12 strand DNA template. So the one we're building at the moment, is in Transylvania in Romania. It's on 15 acres. the whole thing's kind of been designed. We've had all the videos done. We're just kind of finishing the videos for the internals, going through the planning phases at the moment. And then the engineers are going to be kind of pricing it all up, and we'll be hopefully going to ground, you know, in the next sort of 8, 9, 10 months-ish, just depending on how the planning goes. But everything's in motion. We've bought land in Madeira, another 49 acres there. We've bought some land in Wales, in the UK. So we're just buying the parcels of land that kind of come up that are right for this, because they're all on grid points. They've all got portals on, and they're all kind of linked very specifically through the crystalline grids underneath the ground. And like the one that we've got here in Romania, like I'm here at the moment, and you go to where the portal point is, you can hear the beings coming through, walking around, you know. They're preparing the land, and they're actually moving the grids structurally underneath the ground. So like the main center of our building is going to be a multidimensional Merkaba field, which is like a stellated dodecahedron, which is like five Merkaba fields in one. So five top tetrahedrons, five bottom tetrahedrons, and it creates this 12-pointed star, which links into the 12 strands of the DNA. And so that's going to be the central focal point where we're going to do our training. And they're kind of realigning the grids to be right underneath that point at the moment. It's pretty cool, you know? So yeah, it's just, it's
amazing.
That's
amazing that it's all built using sacred geometry, and wow, incredible. What were the beings you said? Lyrians?
Lyrians, yeah.
Lyrians? Is that how you say it? Lyrians that you saw? I'm familiar with the theme and the, I'm familiar with them a little bit, but could you maybe talk a little bit more about the Lyrians in there?
Yeah, I mean, the ones that I met were like 6 to 7 feet-ish tall. Most of them between sort of 6.5, 7 feet. Some of them a tiny little bit taller. They were like a bluey color. And they were in their humanoid form when I met them. So arms, legs, faces, bodies. They didn't have any kind of like genitalia. They all of them literally had like 6 or 8 packs. They were like physically fit. They come from the Lyran star system. Like the cradle of Lyra has like Lyra Vega and Aramatina. There's 3 kind of stargates within that system. Lyrans were one of the first kind of like, you know, extraterrestrial species, and you know, out from kind of source and frequency and the vibrational harmonics of source, you know, source created these Lyran beings, and then the Lyrans created the Vegans. There was kind of duality starting to happen and all of this sort of stuff, and the Lyrans themselves can kind of shapeshift into their feline form, lions, lionesses, panthers. And I mean, my spirit animal is panther, and I always used to wonder why. But I have very strong affiliation with the Lyrans. They used to be red, like they were red at one point. And then after the Galactic Wars, something happened. They had to kind of move through to different planetary homes, and they started eating different vegetation, like berries and things like this. And eventually, over time, their skin color changed. And sometimes when you meet a Lyran, they will be red, you know, they're like the ancient ones, you know, like from a long time ago. And sometimes they present themselves in their humanoid form, sometimes in their kind of like feline form. And then you've got like the Lyran Syrians, which are a kind of like offshoot, like, hybrid species. And it was the Lyran Syrians actually that created the first angelic 12-strand template, where the first angelic humans were born on a planet called Tara, which used to be in the Andromedan galaxy. And then the crystalline grids were played around with there, and that planet ended up exploding. And the planetary structure, which was huge, by the way, then became the 12 planets that we have in our kind of solar system here. So, and then obviously our frequency dropped. Our gene code got played around with through the Atlantean times and that sort of thing. And we became a lesser species. So coming from these angelic human templates, these kind of like 2-strand double helixes with less abilities, not the ability to move through stargates, you know, things like telepathy and levitation and all of these things that should be so natural to us are not there for most people. You know, but now people are remembering these gifts and abilities. And another reason we're building these healing centers, people to heal, people to come for trainings, as a community factor too. We're building in a community factor. So people that haven't got money, they can come and stay at the houses that we're building here. and they can give up some of their time, and in return they'll get a training, healing, meditation, whatever it is. So they kind of like, there's a part exchange, an energetic exchange thing going on. But the other reason we're building these healing centers is for the children, because there are some amazing children coming onto this planet right now, and they have been since sort of early mid 2000s, and they've got a completely different energetic structure to what we've got. And, you know, they've just got a great big heart chakra. They don't have these kind of lower energy centers. They've got transmission centers instead, which run the coding from the stars down into the Earth's grids. And they're here to create transformation and show us, you know, new ways of being on this planet, which aren't really new. They're old. They're bringing all the ancient knowledge. And if we can give them these facilities to step into, which would be like a playground for them to showcase their abilities, I see like in years to come, like the children are in the classrooms and the adults are sitting in the chairs, you know, being taught by the kids, because they know, you know, we've forgotten too much. They know everything.
I agree.
Yeah. It's beautiful times ahead, you know?
Oh, wow. I could ask you 50 questions right now. Because if there's so much you said that, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Which is great. The thing that I want to, that I guess I just want to ask you as we get close to the end here, is there a type, the people listening to this, are there people that should be, that is just if they're called to, like, they feel like, oh my God, I got to check this out. Is there, are there types of people that you're looking for that should be doing this, that should be reaching out and connecting with you and doing your trainings?
You know what, brother, like if going back a few years, it was predominantly women between sort of like, you know, 35 and 55 years old. Over these last couple of years, many, many more men are coming, you know, into this kind of field of awareness and consciousness and allowing their hearts to kind of bust open. And instead of thinking, you know, all of this kind of heart-based love stuff is for kind of like the feminine, what's actually happened is the divine feminine's rising in the masculine too, which is beautiful. And it's about merging that masculine and feminine frequency into wholeness. And I would say anyone that feels the call and they just know there's something inside of them that's like, I got to go and check this out, you know? And there are lots of people that will listen to this information, watch these videos and think, this guy's nuts. He should be sending it off in a straitjacket somewhere. And that's cool. And then the people that are ready, they're going to feel the calling and they'll come and check out the website and they can get involved. And there's many, many different starting points. You can come and check out our meditations, free global meditations, webinars, all sorts of stuff we got going on. You know, come and dip your toe in the water. And if you like it, you know, come and check out one of our trainings, come to a 2-day workshop. We're going to be in America, October and November. Yeah, we're doing two workshops.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you doing the training here?
Yeah, we're doing
it. Sold me on your training now. So everyone should check out the Star Magic Meditation. Get on Jerry's email list. The meditations will change you just listening to the meditation. But I think you've sold me on going a little bit further here. So yeah, tell us about what you're doing in the States.
Yeah, so we're coming out to do a 2-day advanced DNA activation workshop. Actually, it's a 3-day workshop. And that's like the last weekend in October. Then the next week, we're running a 5-day level one training, which is in a place called Asilomani, San Francisco. And then we're down like your neck of the woods, I think, Alex, like Costa Mesa. Yeah, we're doing another 2-day workshop down there. I think it's like sort of Southern California.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
And then we're also going to a cancer hospital to talk about doing some testing, like some clinical trials. You know, using our healing on cancer patients to show that this stuff works. So I'm really excited about that because there's nothing better than having all of this social proof. I mean, going back 4 years, I got arrested for healing people with cancer. You know, we had a client from India. She had 3 tumors, did some healing. The tumors went, she made a video, put it online showing the medical results before and after. I got arrested and went through a 2-year court case, and the cancer kit charities in the UK funded it. So to be able to go into like an open-minded, open-hearted like cancer clinic and be able to kind of work with star magic on some of these, you know, men and women that are suffering and bring them back to full health and show that it works is like, for me, this is the magic. you know, being able to kind of do this kind of work and have those kind of positive effects and document it and record it, because it shows people that aren't into this sort of stuff that it actually is true and it can happen. And for me, that's cool. So we're coming over to do a few things. Yeah, we'll be there for like 7 odd weeks. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, love coming to America. You know, we've not been for a couple of years. I was there a couple of weeks ago, actually. I went to Las Vegas to a festival just for 4 days, but I was in and out. So it was more of a networking and like supporting a really good kind of movement to bring people together, you know, for humanity. So yeah, it was an amazing time. Yeah, looking forward to that though, and doing
all these events. Everything's on the website, right? Like people can find out.
Yeah, everything is on starmagichealing.com.
Okay, cool.
Can I ask you one other question about, so one of the reasons I actually started this podcast, it was originally meant to be a documentary, and I got really into the earth chakras and portals and locations and frequency and energy of places, and how there are just all of these places around the world that people are drawn to and flock to. I discovered that some maps of the serpent ley lines and, you know, different. And I never know where to get the right or real information on the map, specifically the grid. We talk a lot about the grid, the ley lines and the grids and Reiki as well. And, you know, remotely tapping into the power and energy of those places. But do you have any recommendations or places that you go and that you trust with information on
The best place is to go into your own heart, you know, and ask the questions there. We go through loads of this stuff on a level 2 training. And I'm also really lucky because we've got a really good team. And like, you know, if I get information, I can check it off with other people, you know, within our team that have got great psychic abilities that can tap timelines, future, past, like they just boom, just like that, you know? So between us, there's not much that we can't really kind of answer. If I don't know something, I can go and ask someone else. But I always say to everybody, go into your heart, you know, take the time, be patient and ask the questions and you'll always get the answers. There are some really good resources on the internet, you know. The Ascension Glossary is a really good one. You know, the Ascension Glossary. I forget the name of the lady.
I do. Crystal Links? Is it Crystal Links?
I don't know about that, no.
Okay.
Yeah, but there is some good information out there, you know, but at the same time, like I always say to people, like, don't believe anything I say, like don't believe anything anyone says, like question it, go into your heart and ask, is this my truth too? Does this feel right to me? You know, because it might not be, you know, there are many different perspectives on reality and many different truths and many different stories and many different ways to perceive reality. So both of us could be looking at the same situation and perceive it from different angles. It doesn't mean you're right and I'm wrong, or I'm right and you're wrong. Both of us are right from where we're looking at it. So, you know, this game is just a labyrinth of like mystery, you know, and that's what's so fascinating about it. So yeah, go into your heart, take that deep dive, come to our level 2 training because we go into this stuff like, you know, deeply. Yeah.
I have to do level 1 first though, right?
I've got to do level 1 first.
So yeah. I will see you in California at the end of October.
Amazing. I look forward to it. It's going to be
fun. Thank you so much for everything that you shared today. You're incredible and it was just wonderful to be, to share this time with you and learn from you. I always call you the love frequency master and you truly are. So once again, just thanks for sharing that light with us. Alex.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute honor and a pleasure, guys. And just huge, huge love and hugs to you guys.
Thanks for, I just want to thank you as, you know, I love when you were saying how men often like stay away or avoid this, but, you know, when people, it's nice to see like very masculine, powerful, strong men in all the, like I'm air quoting traditional masculine ways, who's also open-hearted and embraces his feminine and sees it as just a strength and not, you know, a weakness. We just need so much more of that.
Let me tell you a quick story before we shoot off, because like this is literally something that happened like the last couple of weeks for me. And like, I think this is important based on what you just said, right? When I was at this event in Las Vegas, there was a guy giving a talk And he was talking about these really cool projects that he's doing. And then he started talking about his son when his son was born and this whole kind of story around it. And he broke into tears and he was really vulnerable. And when that vulnerability came up inside of him, this little crystal key traveled through the audience and I watched it and it was coming. And just before it got to my body, I saw a walnut in my heart and this crystal key came and it cracked the walnut. And I felt tears and emotion in my body. And I was like, what's going on? And nothing really materialized. Anyway, I went to a bit of traveling, went to Andorra, then came to Romania. And I'm with my girlfriend and she's saying to me, you know, there's this beast inside of you that is blocking love and stopping you receiving. And I'm like, okay. And I just couldn't put my finger on it. So anyway, we do this like ceremony one evening, in the night time, it's about 2 a.m, right there doing light language and we're connecting and we've taken our lights out of our bodies. We've merged as one and doing all this grid work in the land. And did some amazing stuff. And I came back into the house afterwards and I had this pain in my body. And the pain was like, you know, when you get food poisoning, sometimes you like, you know, you puke and shit and you get all this like pain in your shoulders and like aching. Well, I just had the aching, but with no sickness or anything. And so I knew that something was kind of releasing within me. Anyway, this happens. The next day I go out and do some more breath work down by the pond. I'm doing these activations. And then I start to feel really sick. And I go back into the house. I'm bent up double on the bed. And my girlfriend comes in and she's showing me so much love. And I snapped at her. And then she kind of left. And I'm bent up double. Eventually I kind of transmute the pain and it goes. And I realize, you know, I've just snapped at her. And it just really showed me that she's right. I'm not receiving love. So I went into, you know, said, I'm sorry and blah, 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 you know, and we had this kind of chat. She said, that was the beast in you communicating. It wasn't you answering, it was the beast. So that night we sat down and I said, will you please do some work on me? So she went in and did some work and I went in to do some work on myself. And as soon as I kind of dropped into my heart and I said, please show me something I don't know to help me facilitate the healing of this incredible human being, I see this little baby and the little baby is me. And when I was, 2 months old, I got raped by my first foster parents. So I'm seeing myself at 2 years old, this little baby, and the little baby is inside this like chamber. And there's these two horrible beasts that are guarding it. Now the beasts are actually elements of me, versions of me that are really angry because of what happened to me and versions of me that are protecting myself from anyone else that might want to hurt me. So it's like a double-edged sword. So I had to go in, transmute the beasts that were a part of me, bring that kind of shadow self and bring it into love and love those beasts so much until they became whole with me, and then get little baby Jerry, bring him into my arms and like hug him and nurture him and love him like I've never loved him before. And then just transmuted him inside of me. And then things just kind of opened. Like I felt this overwhelming sense of joy and love and abundance. And over the next few days, so many magical things came into my life. It was crazy just from this experience by, you know, me going into that shadow aspect and being brave enough to face it and transmute it and doing what I needed to do on an energetic level. It's just changed so much for me. And I suppose I'm sharing this because, you know, a lot of men think that they've got to be tough and they've got to be masculine and they've got to be fierce and ferocious. And yeah, you do need to be all those things. But at the same time, you've got to bring it into balance and nurturing yourself and being vulnerable enough and brave enough to go into those deep, dark spaces where you can cry, where you can just tell the truth and just be completely open and vulnerable. Because that vulnerability is like the foundation for growth, right? If you don't allow yourself to be vulnerable and you're out there masking it all up, you've just got cracks underneath. And eventually those cracks are going to come through and they're not very pretty. So the best thing is to go in and just work and dive deep as quickly and as fast as possible. So yeah, thank you for letting me share that story, bro. I know we didn't have much time, but it's quite important to share it, you know?
Yeah. Wow. I don't know how we end on that note, but we are. Jerry, thank you so much. People, you know, everyone listening, please go to starmagichealing.com. Jerry, we'll have to have you back again with no time limit. You know, we'll do a Joe Rogan forever episode. Thanks for listening to The Frequency Shifters, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Frequency Shifters. We really hope that you got some value, you learned something, and that there's something from this episode that you can take away and use in your life. Who are you thinking of right now that needs to hear this episode? Please share it with them. Share this on social media, subscribe and like and leave a comment. And please, if you have a comment or an idea or something that you want us to talk about or investigate, leave it online and we will go into those and bring you that information. Please like, share, and subscribe, and we will see you next time.